The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. Glory to you, Lord Christ. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need of food? He entered the house of God when Abiathar was high priest, and he ate the bread of the presence, which it is not lawful for any but the priests to eat. And he gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for humankind, and not humankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.' Again he entered the synagogue, and a man was there who had a withered hand. They watched him to see whether he would cure him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, 'Come forward.' Then he said to them, 'Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or to kill?' But they were silent. He looked around at them with anger. He was grieved at their hardness of heart, and said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately conspired with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord Christ.
Now, as it is a picnic, I decided not to do some in-depth study and give new and exciting revelations about our scriptures this morning, not to translate any Greek for you or recite any fancy religious words I learned last night so that I can sound smart. I'm going to read you a story and that I think it serves as a great metaphor for the love of God at work in our lives. So I'm going to keep it simple. This is by Robert Fulghum. It's on fire when I lay down on it. Some of you may be familiar with this. And if I can find it. His stories don't have titles. They're just kind of chapters. So I can't tell you what the title is. But if you ever want to read it, it starts on page 27. The cardboard box is marked "The Good Stuff." As I write, I can see the box where it is stored on a high shelf in my studio. I like being able to see it when I look up. The box contains those odds and ends of personal treasures that have survived many bouts of clean it out and throw it away that seize me from time to time. The box has passed through the screening done as I've moved from house to house and hauled stuff from attic to attic. A thief looking into the box would not take anything. He couldn't get a dime for any of it. But if the house ever catches on fire, the box goes with me when I run. One of the keepsakes in the box is a small paper bag, lunch size. Though the top is sealed with duct tape, staples, and several paper clips, there is a ragged rip on one side through which the contents may be seen. This particular lunch sack has been in my care for maybe 14 years, but it really belongs to my daughter, Molly. Soon after she came of school age, she became an enthusiastic participant in packing the morning lunches for herself, her brothers, and me. Each bag got a share of sandwiches, apples, milk money, and sometimes a note or a treat. One morning, Molly handed me two bags as I was about to leave, one regular lunch sack, and the one with the duct tape, the staples, and the paper clips. Why two bags? The other one is something else. What's in it? Just some stuff. Take it with you. Not wanting to hold court over the matter, I stuffed both sacks into my briefcase, kissed the child, and rushed off. At midday, while hurriedly scarfing down my real lunch, I tore open Molly's bag and shook out the contents. Two hair ribbons, three small stones, a plastic dinosaur, a pencil stub, a tiny seashell, two animal crackers, a marble, a used lipstick, a small dowel, two chocolate kisses, and 13 pennies. I smiled. How charming. Rising to hustle off to all the important business of the afternoon, I swept the clean desk into the wastebasket. Leftover lunch, Molly's junk, and all. There wasn't anything in there that I needed. That evening, Molly came to stand beside me while I was reading the paper. Where's my bag? What bag? You know, the one I gave you this morning. I left it in the office. Why? I forgot to put this note in it. She hands over the note. Besides, I want it back. Why? Those are my things in the sack, Daddy. The ones I really like. I thought you might like to play with them. But now, I want them back. You didn't lose the bag, did you, Daddy? Tears puddled in her eyes. Oh, no, I just forgot to bring it home, I lied. Bring it tomorrow, okay? Sure thing, don't worry. As she hugged my neck with relief, I unfolded the note that had not got into the sack. I love you, Daddy. Oh. And also, uh-oh. I looked long at the face of my child. She was right. What was in that sack was something else. Molly had given me her treasures, all that a 7-year-old held dear, love in a paper sack. And I had missed it. Not only missed it, but had thrown it in the wastebasket because there wasn't anything I needed. Dear God. It wasn't the first or the last time I felt my daddy permit was about to run out. It was a long trip back to the office, but there was nothing else to be done, so I went. The pilgrimage of a penitent. Just ahead of the janitor, I picked up the wastebasket and poured out the contents on my desk. I was sorting it all out when the janitor came in to do his chores. Lose something? Yes, my mind. It's probably in there, all right. What's it look like? I'll help you find it. I started not to tell him, but I couldn't feel any more of a fool than I was already, in fact, so I told him. He didn't laugh, he smiled. I got kids too. So the Brotherhood of Fools searched the trash and found the jewels, and he smiled at me and I smiled at him. You are never alone in these things. Never. After washing the mustard off the dinosaurs and spraying the whole thing with breath freshener to kill the smell of onions, I carefully smoothed out the wadded ball of brown paper into a semi-functional bag and put the treasures inside and carried the whole thing home gingerly, like an injured kitten. The next evening, I returned it to Molly. No questions asked, no explanations offered. The bag didn't look so good. But the stuff was all there, and that's all that counted. After dinner, I asked her to tell me about the stuff in the sack. And so she took it all out, a piece at a time, and placed the objects in a row on the dining room table. It took a long time to tell. Everything had a story, a memory, or was attached to dreams and imaginary friends. Fairies had brought some of the things, and I had given her the chocolate kisses, and she had kept them for when she needed them. I managed to say, I see, very wisely several times in the telling. And as a matter of fact, I did see. To my surprise, Molly gave the bag to me once again several days later. Same ratty bag, same stuff inside. I felt forgiven and trusted and loved and a little more comfortable wearing the title of father. Over several months, the bag went with me from time to time. It was never clear to me why I did or did not get it on a given day. I began to think of it as the daddy prize and tried to be good the night before so that I might be given it the next morning. In time, Molly turned her attention to other things, found other treasures, lost interest in the game, grew up. Something. Me, I was left holding the bag. She gave it to me one morning and never asked for its return. And so I have it still. Sometimes I think of all the times in this sweet life when I must have missed the affection I was being given. A friend calls this standing knee-deep in the river and dying of thirst. So the warm paper sack is there in the box, left over from a time when a child said, "Here, this is the best I've got. Take it. It's yours. Such as I have, give I to thee." I missed it the first time, but it's my bag now. Now, I think that that is just a marvelous metaphor for us. We sometimes, I think, all of us at some point or another, miss the fact that despite the fact that we may feel like broken, ripped bags that are held together in tatters with some duct tape and some staples and some paper clips, but God has filled us with love and forgiveness in ways that we too often don't recognize. Because that's the power of God's love, and that's the gift that God gives us, to give us that wholeness, to give us salvation and forgiveness through our Lord Jesus Christ, and to give us that through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, and most importantly, the empty tomb. It is about God's grace, and God's grace fills us and pervades our lives. We might be that bag, but we are filled with things of value from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, anyone who is on the vestry or has been on the vestry in my 6 years here at St. Mark's, please join me as we address God's grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. I will proffer that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit is with us all forevermore. Amen.